Autobots, roll out. That's me giving you my best Optimus Prime voice. The Transformers series was one of my favorite childhood pastimes, so you pretty much can imagine how absolutely ecstatic I was when the first movie in the franchise came to the big screen. I went to watch it by myself the very first time, and I almost drowned in anticipation for my nephew's visit, so I had another excuse to go see it again. I must admit, every time Transformers comes on TV, it's like I can't get enough. Sheepishly, I will admit that I've probably seen part one more than 15 times, and if it were to come on today, I'm more than likely see it again. It's gotten so ridiculous that I can actually tell the scenes in sequence without skipping a beat. Obsessed? Well, maybe a little. Fascinated? Absolutely. There was a something about that movie, beyond the sounds, the colors, the special effects, the plots, that connected with me in a way that seemed almost primal, even instinctive. Maybe because the Autobots in their natural state of rest seemed quite normal, blending perfectly into the environment, and yet possessing the knowledge that they had the capacity to transform themselves into powerful machines that could inflict damage on a magnitude unknown to humans, and a level of intelligence and insight that was literally out of this world. The concept appealed to me on a very deep plane. Could it be? Is it at all possible that I might be one of them? That I might be a transformer? Hello, everyone. This is Georgia Bryce, host of the most informative, transformative, and what I consider the baddest podcast on the planet, the Building According to Pattern podcast series. I want to thank you so much for making room in your world to fit me and my messages in on a weekly basis. It's been a little challenging on my part getting my segments up on my originally slated time. That's on Sundays. School really has me on lockdown these days, but bringing you this weekly podcast segment is a priority for me, and you, my listening audience, are especially important. I value you, and I certainly value your support. So if I don't make it at my slated time, just know that a message will be on the way soon thereafter. If you're a first-time listener, I want to give you a very warm welcome and to invite you to make this podcast series a part of your routine as well. The series has been active since September of 2013, so a number of messages are available on my podcast page for your listening pleasure at your own convenience. Simply visit the podcast page at the address batplc.podbean.com. And I can promise you that several of these segments will have some content that you will find that's beneficial or applicable to you and to where you are in your journey currently. Take some time to scroll through the archived messages and feel free to visit as often as you'd like. The rest of you are like family to me right now. Thank you so much for hanging in there, and thank you for being so supportive. And though I don't want to start calling any names, I have to give a very special shout out to my pastors, my parents in the ministry, Dr. Pepe and Angela Ramnath. They've been two of my biggest advocates as I embarked on this journey, and they're always lending their support and encouraging me to expand myself in greater ways. So I want to honor them, and I want to thank them so much for trusting me enough to give me wings to fly. Autobots, roll out. Image bearers, activate and take your place. Before I get deep into this segment, let me make it known at the onset that this message is meant for everyone. This message should resound with every single solitary human being that has graced or will grace this planet called Earth. They should recognize its content. They should be able to connect to its frequency, and they should be able to understand its language. Unfortunately, not everyone will. At the end of this message, you will know along what spectrum you fall. In the mother of all parables ever given by Jesus Christ when he walked the earth, he compared the disposition and the condition of the human heart to one of four models. The heart that does not even have the capacity to recognize his instruction, the heart that recognizes and receives his instruction but lacks the capacity to retain it because there is no true depth of relationship with him, or the relationship is just superficial or phony, for want of a simpler term. Then there's a heart that recognizes and receives the word. It actually has depth, but lacks the character and integrity that's needed to resist the appeals and demands of a fallen world system, and is eventually overtaken by lust, greed, deception, seduction, or compromise. Finally, there is the heart that receives the instructions detailed in the manual for living, and as revealed by the Holy Spirit. This heart understands the instructions, incorporates it into its everyday living, and ultimately is able to manifest the fruits of the Word of God, including success and prosperity in every sphere of life. Statistically, based on what Jesus said, only 25% of the people who are exposed to the truth of God's Word in any given instance will produce any real and lasting fruits. But here's the caveat. The power to determine your heart's condition lies squarely with you. It's called choice. Now, in your manual for living, the Bible, detailed in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, you are given in very explicit details a picture of what God, your master designer and manufacturer, has in his mind for you and for your life. Right at this moment, you might not be fulfilling that expectation, possibly because you didn't know, or maybe you do, but you choose to live differently. My responsibility is to bring this truth into focus, and then you will have to make a decision. This is what it says. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape or mold the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with him. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. I want to give you verse 29 in the King James Version. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, you and I are called to be image bearers in the earth. An image refers to the physical likeness or representation of a person, animal, or thing, photographed, painted, sculpted, or otherwise made visible. God is a spirit. He is invisible. But you and I were created to be visible manifestation of this God that we cannot see. We were created in his image. We were originally created to be like him, to speak like him, to act like him, to think like him. We were created to be an extension of him in the earth. But by virtue of sin and the darkened state that man was plunged in, that image of God we bore became distorted. We became distorted, warped, and twisted in our thinking and our perceptions of what is right and wrong. And we became distorted in our understanding of who we are in terms of our identity and the source of that identity. We no longer look to God as the source of our identity, our definition. We rejected him. The only problem was, and still is for so many, is that we still need to be defined. Instead of looking to God, we started looking to ourselves to find the answers in ourselves. How can a fellow human being with a distorted image correct your image? Think about it. And if we were so successful in accomplishing this feat, why do we keep vacillating between identities, and why aren't we satisfied and fulfilled in our souls? Enter Jesus Christ, the standard bearer, the original master copy, the one to whom we have been called out of our mess and our confusion, which are the results of a distorted image, to conform to and to pattern ourselves. You are not ordinary. Like Optimus Prime and the Autobots, you have been living in this world, seemingly fitting in. But you have been called to fulfill a greater task. You are a son of God. Here is why it is important for you to understand this truth and discover who you are without further delay. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it says, "For even the whole creation waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known, waiting for their revelation, for the disclosure of their sonship." The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The world is eagerly waiting for you to find yourself, find your place, and to begin manifesting the glory or the image of God in the earth. Had Moses not discovered who he really was, a son of God, an image bearer, he would have remained in an oppressive and evil Egyptian system while continuing to watch his people be enslaved, treated less than humans, and murdered, and then he himself would have died, never becoming one of the greatest liberators, leaders, and spokesmen or prophet to ever walk the earth. Had Esther not found the courage to arise and take her place, the entire Jewish nation would have been completely obliterated from the earth. Had Jacob remained small in his eyes, he would have remained as a shepherd, serving under his deceptive uncle Laban, never coming to the realization that there was a prince locked up on the inside of him, Israel, who was called to sire the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Had Nehemiah not recognized who he was and respond to the call of God, he would have remained as a slave and a cupbearer to a heathen king, never giving birth to the governor he was destined to be, and the man who would return to reconstruct the broken down walls of Jericho, rebuild the temple, and restore the honor of Israel once again. Had David remained in the sheep pen, the place he was designated to be by his family and quite possibly by society, the king that he was and the great honor that he brought to the name of God would never have been. We would never have known of King David and the wonderful, powerful, and comforting psalms he wrote. Had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego caved into the social, political, and cultural pressures of their times to bow to an image that was not the true God, we would never have known that God delivers even from fire when we take a stand for him and seek to uphold righteousness and our integrity. Had Saul remained resistant to the call of God and refused to take his place, we would probably never have known the truth that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, or that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, or that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, or any number of truths and instructions detailed in the books of Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Philemon. As an image bearer, a son of God, you have been placed in an environment to represent his image, to make him known to those who around you who do not know him. You are being called to make a difference, to take a stand, to change some things and to influence your environment. You have the capacity to change environments and to shift atmospheres. You have the ability to transform your domain, your circle of influence. It's time to get activated and it's time to get involved. Say something. Do something. When you begin to express your image as a son of God, when you decide to get active and assume your place, it gives others permission and the courage to do the same. When I tell you, based on what I'm being exposed to, that the world is desperately waiting for standard bearers and that those who know the truth to assume their places as light, salt, and yeast, to give direction and to bring about change and transformation, it's the absolute truth. The world is desperate. As an image bearer, you have the answers, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the strategies. God has given them to you by virtue of your relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. No longer feel comfortable staying on the sidelines. Get activated and assume your position and do what God is calling you to do. If you refuse to be the person of influence or the one to initiate change, know for certain that someone else will, and you might not like the outcome. Let me leave you with a pattern that was given to us by a group of young men who preceded us as they prepared to assume their places as image bearers of the Lord God whom they represented. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were young Jewish slaves in a nation known as Babylon. It bore the title of the most wicked nation on the earth during that time. As is customary, to immerse these slaves into the culture of the times and to reconstruct their identities to conform to that of the Babylonian system, they were given Babylonian names and they were taught the Babylonian language. There were many young Jewish men who were enslaved as Daniel and his friends. Yet these four men resolved in their heart that they would take a stand for what they believed in. They would not compromise their walk with God. They would uphold their integrity. They would not eat the diet that everyone else was being fed, and that was both literally and figuratively. And they were not going to bow to the other images that were being placed before them. They made a decision. Can I challenge you as I challenge myself today? Take a stand. Ask God for the courage you need to take your place and to do what he has called you to do and to be who he has called you to be. Let us pray. Father, thank you for loving us enough to rescue us from the dominion of sin in our lives. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your son, who is your expressed image, and for working to restore us to our original self as we conform to his image. Thank you that this has always been your plan, that no longer do we need to struggle with a distorted image or with figuring out who we are or why we're here. Thank you that we do not need to look to man to tell us who we are or to give us a definition of ourselves or a label or a tag. Thank you that our worth, our value, our identity, our self-esteem, and our purpose are to be found in you. Help us to assume our places in you and in the systems you have placed us to live, work, operate, and help us to be light, salt, and yeast as your word commands us. Help us to let our light so shine before men so that they can see our good works and come to glorify you, our Father, in heaven. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, image bearers, I have said more than a mouthful. Get activated and go change your world. It's time. Thank you so much again for joining me on this segment of the podcast, and thank you so much for your patience. I promise you that we're going to get through this. Again, let me invite you to visit the podcast page for the archive messages at batplc.podbean.com. And as always, your feedback and your comments are welcomed. Or you can connect contact with, you could always send me an email at info@buildingaccordingtopattern.com. And also, I'm inviting you to connect with me on Twitter and Instagram at Georgia BATPLLC, and that's one complete word. Now, if you're living in the South Florida region and you are a regular listener of this podcast, I would love to have you join me at an upcoming women's conference that I'm slated to be a guest speaker at. And that's going to be on March 8, 2014, at 3 p.m. in Hollandale, Florida. The theme of the conference is Women Empowering Women. And I will be speaking on the topic Dominion Activation, the Power of Your Creative Energy. So if that is something that you might be interested in attending, if you're anywhere nearby, please visit my Facebook page at Building According to Pattern. The flyer is posted on my page detailing the venue, the time, as well as the conference lineup and what's scheduled to take place on that day. Alternately, you can shoot me an email or you can connect with me on Facebook via messaging for further details. And I also have another conference that's coming up in April, but as we get closer to that time, I will give you more details. I crave your prayers. I really, really do. Though I love to do what I do and I make the effort to keep things in balance, believe it or not, it is still a sacrifice. Just doing this podcast takes putting together a 20-minute podcast will take me a good 3 to 4 hours because I want to make sure that whatever I'm presenting to you is accurate and it is thorough enough for you to understand what I'm saying and you could gain some insights. You could walk away with something new. So it does take a lot of energy and time. So your continued support helps me in my journey and it serves as a source of encouragement to me. So for those who have been praying, thank you. And for those who have not been praying yet, please put me on your prayer list. Until we meet again next week, I pray that you will have a productive week. And remember, I want to hear from you. Until then, this is Georgia Bryce of the Building According to Pattern podcast series. Stay blessed, be blessed, and take care. Bye.